Last Sunday, I began a series of sermons reflecting on some of the cliches often spoken in church and by Christians in an effort to navigate the challenges of life. Things that sometimes say, you know, the Bible says, when it really doesn't. Last week, we looked at the statement, everything happens for a reason. One of those phrases we often say to try to make sense of that which doesn't make sense. Today we look at another statement that's closely related with some similar theme to it, often spoken to folks having difficulty, well-meaning, caring people looking at us in our times of struggle and saying, you know, God will not give you any more than you can handle. How many of you have heard that statement spoken to you or someone in a rough place? The intention of it is good, to remind folks, encourage folks, help them face the trials. But I've also heard a couple folks in the face of that statement hearing, God won't give you more than you can handle, respond by saying, God must have more faith in me than I do. At the heart of this particular statement, as is true of some of these, is an effort to make sense of Scripture, to make sense of promises, but in this particular one is drawn from a verse that may be misread just a little bit. If you've got your Bibles, we're going to look at several other verses today. You're invited to follow along or listen as I read them. But there's a place in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 where Paul is talking to the Corinthian church. The Corinth is a business center, a trading port, wealth, lots of folks from around the world, lots of temptation. And Paul is encouraging the church in Corinth not to give in to temptations and struggles. He's reminding them not to give in to sexual immorality and idolatry. And as he writes them in 1 Corinthians 10, beginning with verse 11, listen to what he says to the people. These things happened to them, and at the beginning of this chapter, he's talked about God walking with Israel and examples from Israel's history where God blessed them, but the people turned away from God. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Now some, and even some translations through the years, have acknowledged that the word there for temptation and tempted can also be translated as trials. And folks have picked up on that and said, God won't let trials happen to you beyond what you can manage. But really here, Paul is talking specifically about temptations. The things that we face to turn away from God, the temptations we face, you know what yours are, I know what mine are. And talking to the people of Corinth, God is saying, temptations will come to you. But you always have a choice. You always have an option. You can always say no in the face of temptation. The people at Corinth were struggling. They were divided. They were having trouble with the wealthy getting along with the poor. And Paul is saying to all of you who are believers, in the face of temptation, you have a choice. We see the realities that temptation comes to all people. Jesus himself was tempted, 40 days hungering in the wilderness, fasting, being tempted to turn stone into bread. Now, I don't know about you, but if it had been me, I'm not sure I'd have been able to resist, if I had the power, turning stone into bread after 40 days of fasting, especially if it had been some of those really good warm yeast rolls with melted butter on it. If I could do that out of stones, I would not go hungry. The reality is we all face temptation. But in temptation, Paul is saying here, there's always a choice, an option, an opportunity to say no. One of the things that sets temptation apart from trial is often in trial and tribulation, we don't have a choice. In temptation, Paul's saying, we have a choice that we can make. We may not always look for the escape. We may not always look for the option that we have. We may give in far too easily, but we have a choice. In the rough spells that come in life, in the times of grief and loss and trial and heartbreak, we often don't have a choice. We have things that happen to us. Now, there are times when our decisions put us in a fix. There are times when our choices bring bad things on us. But the loss of loved ones unexpectedly, the loss of job, the loss of friendships, so many of the bad things that happen to us, the diagnosis of illness, often come upon us not because of choices we have made, but simply because life is difficult. A pastor talks about recently visiting with a man who had just found out about a terminal diagnosis for his son, a young adult. And this father was sitting there in grief at the face of losing his son. And this pastor says, I sat with him and there were no easy words, nothing to make it better. And we sat and we cried together. And it was perhaps the most powerless feeling I've ever had in ministry. There weren't easy words that everything happens for a reason or God doesn't give you more than you can handle. It was just a time to sit and weep and acknowledge that life is painful. And we see this affirmed over and over again in Scripture. Jesus himself, going to pray in Gethsemane, told his disciples, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." In that moment of facing the cross, Jesus himself understood what it felt like to be overwhelmed. He even prayed, "God, let this pass from me," but then prayed, "Thy will be done." We see in the Psalms over and over again expressions of people who feel overwhelmed at the trials of life. Psalm 38:8 says, "I am feeble and utterly crushed. I groan in anguish of heart." In Psalm 88, we find these words, "I'm overwhelmed with troubles, and my life draws near to death. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I'm like one without strength." Now let's face it. The psalm writers don't sound like they were having good days when they penned those words. Overwhelmed, defeated, beaten down. And words like this in Scripture remind us that it's not uncommon, that it's normal, that it's okay to recognize that life is painful, that evil is real, that life beats us down, that we can be overwhelmed, and that things happen to us that are more than we can handle. Psalm 46, the basis and inspiration for our call to worship today, talks about God being our refuge and strength. And listen to the imagery of what Psalm 46 says. "Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake at their surging." Think about the drama of that imagery. The psalmist is acknowledging God is our refuge and strength, not because we can handle whatever comes to us, But God is our refuge and strength, a reason we need not fear, even though the earth gives way, the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, the waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake in their surging. The imagery here is a world that feels like it's falling in on us. The psalmist isn't saying, it's really not that bad. God wouldn't give you more than you can handle. He's saying, the world sometimes feels like it caves in on us. But God is still our refuge and strength. And we need not fear. And one of the things that strikes me about some of these cliches is those on the receiving end of them sometimes feel like what we're doing is minimizing the pain they feel. God won't give you more than you can handle. Well, it feels like it's more than I can handle. It feels like it's a big deal. The reality is life's not fair. Periods of our lives feel like life is beating up on us. But as we look into Scripture, even if we let go of the statement that says God won't give us more than we can handle, we find an awful lot here that gives us reason for hope and faith and strength and peace and comfort. In Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. Listen to the way Paul describes his experience and the way he found strength. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 8 through 11, Paul writes, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure." You hear that? Far beyond our ability to endure. "So that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us again. On Him we have set our hope that He will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many." Do you hear Paul's words? He's saying, we thought we were finished. We felt like we were dead. We were overwhelmed, facing more than was within our ability to endure. But in that experience of acknowledging that he was facing more than he could handle, he discovered again that God was faithful. He discovered again that God, who can bring Jesus back from the dead, is more than sufficient to be with us, to guide us, to deliver us, even when life is more than we can handle. Paul understood that life can beat us down. Bad things happen. Grief piles up on grief. Sickness leaves us feeling overwhelmed and defeated. But God is with us. God is faithful. Our sufferings, our struggles don't separate us from God, but become opportunities to discover that when we reach rock bottom, we often discover God was with us all along and will pick us up and deliver us. And so I think as we face this statement and hear it said, the fact of the matter for me is, life will give us more than we can handle. But God will be with us and handle it along with us. God doesn't leave us alone. And this is the essence of the gospel, that God does for us what we can't do for ourselves. Isn't that the message of Jesus? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we couldn't save ourselves, Jesus did the work we couldn't do. And in the beloved 23rd Psalm, we hear, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." There's no pretending that the valley of the shadow of death isn't real and dark and painful. But we don't have to fear because God is with us. And in these rough times, often it's those moments where our illusions of self-control, our illusions of self-sufficiency fade away. And we discover we can't handle it on our own. But God is just waiting for us to trust Him and believe that He's with us and let Him walk with us. Part of the reason I chose this particular thought for reflection today is the reminder that it's often in the tough things, the things that are too much to handle, that we finally let go and discover God's been with us all along, waiting for us to quit thinking we could handle it on our own and discover He is faithful. This is certainly not to say, and this quote is not to suggest, that we only discover God in the hardest times. But at some point, the trials of life become another opportunity to realize we can't do it by ourselves. And God is faithful and is with us. For it's in the midst of the earth falling into the sea that the writer of Psalm 46 says, "Be still and know that I am God." In the midst of all the chaos, the psalmist says, "Be still and know that I'm God." And in our reading from Matthew, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Take my yoke. Let me help carry the burden. Let me help you discover you're not left to handle things on your own. But come with your burdens and find God is faithful to give rest. I can't tell you how many times in the midst of ministry I have reached points of being ready to give up. Points of being ready to say, "I can't do this anymore, I'm done." And usually somewhere in those moments, God gets back to me in some way to say, "You don't have to do it. We're in this together. It's my church, and you're called to be working through the power of my Spirit." When we try to do life and God's work of our own strength, we will fall short. But God never calls us to do life and ministry and church out of our own strength. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. Come to me and you'll find rest." And so His invitation to us, to all of us who carry heavy burdens. I don't know what burdens you're carrying today, but I bet most, if not all of you, are carrying some. I don't know what weighs on you, what stresses, what anxieties are pushing you down and leaving you feeling overwhelmed. But whatever we're facing, Jesus invites us to come before Him, trust Him, offer Him our burdens, and discover that He is faithful. It's not easy for us to let go of our need to be in control. It's not easy for us to let go of that illusion we want to create that we've got it together. But it's only as we come humbly before God, acknowledging our neediness and our dependence, that we can become all God calls us to be. In a culture that emphasizes self-help and independence and standing on our own two feet, most of us don't really like saying, I'm dependent. But the gospel reminds us that God does for us what we can't do for ourselves. And the faith in Christ is at its fullest when we acknowledge our dependence on God to do for us what we can't do just by setting our minds to it. Listen to the way Paul describes his battles with what he describes as a thorn in the flesh. We don't know exactly what he's describing. But listen to the way he describes his struggle. He says, therefore, in 2 Corinthians 12, beginning with the second part of verse 7, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. How many times in our own lives have we discovered in our weakness, we discover God is strong? Earlier we sang the wonderful hymn, It Is Well With My Soul, and many of you already know that that particular hymn was written by Horatio Spafford in a time of great grief. He had already lost a 2-year-old son in the Great Chicago Fire. He was going to Europe, but ended up sending his family ahead because of business needs. There was a shipwreck. Only his wife survived. His 4 daughters were killed. He got a telegraph that said, survived alone. He got on board the boat to go meet his wife, and as he passed the area where the shipwreck had happened, he penned the words to the beautiful hymn, It Is Well With My Soul. That hymn wasn't written when everything was going well. It was written by one in the darkness of despair who's found God is faithful. How many times in our own lives can we find God is faithful in the midst of the hardest times of life? Many of you have heard me talk about when my mother died and I was not coping well as we prepared to go to the funeral, the memorial service. I was supposed to say a prayer in the service, and as time came for the service, I was not holding it together well. But in this large Methodist church where the service was, we processed in singing, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, which is based on Psalm 46. I found as I sang those words processing in of God who is our fortress, our strength, who helps us when we're weak, I felt that I went from struggle to faith just in singing those powerful words of trust and was able to get up and say what I wanted to say and pray what I wanted to pray and offer a tribute to my mother, feeling the peace of God, not because the situation had changed, but because I spoke words of faith and sang them and found they were true. Life isn't fair. Life will give us more than we can handle. But God never leaves us alone. And He's there inviting us simply to trust Him to lift our burdens and carry us. Will you pray with me? We offer you ourselves, weak and struggling as we are, praying that you will help us trust you more fully. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.